Hello, welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast with Paul Sollendrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Today's guests are seniors on the Wichita State tennis team, Aurel Oville and Zach Gruber. They will play their final home match of the season on Saturday. Both the Shocker men and women play Creighton. There's some weather questions, so we're not quite sure where and when, but you can pay attention to social media, goshockers.com, and they will give you that information about times and places on Saturday for the Shockers to wrap up the regular season here in Wichita. Aurel is from Israel. He has largely played 2 and 3 singles, number 2 doubles this spring. Zach is from Columbia, Missouri. Both of them, in addition to their tennis exploits, are ITA scholar athletes and academic all-conference picks. Wichita State, the men's team is 10-14 this season. They are coming off a win over number 55 SMU as they head into the final weeks of the season. So, Aurel, let's start with you. What are some of the thoughts that go through your mind as you're close to wrapping up your college tennis journey?
The main thing is just keep enjoying, same as I enjoyed when I was a freshman. Try to stay motivated and push for the last few matches, not just for me, but for the guys to do good and to accomplish as much as we can for this season.
So coming off a win over SMU, is that helpful going into these last few weeks? Does that give the team some momentum?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, in terms of confidence, I think the guys have more confidence right now, both singles and doubles. And I think it bonds us more as a team. And just shows us that the conference is winnable and every match is winnable. So it doesn't matter the rank of the team or how good the player or the opponent, we can just do everything well.
So the conference tournament, as Aurel mentioned, coming up next week in Orlando. So, Zach, you've had a very well-rounded time here at Wichita State. You've got the tennis, academic all-conference. You've been very active on the student-athlete advisory committee. You graduated. You're working on your master's degree in applied economics. What's going through your mind as you're going through all these kind of last markers? You're down to the last few practices, last road trips, all those kind of things that have been a big part of your life. What's uppermost on your mind?
Yeah, I mean, like Aurel said, the most important thing is enjoying it. For me, obviously, I'm really excited to start working this summer, start seeing what's out there in the real world. But at the same time, I really have to enjoy these last few weeks with the team, just everything that comes with that. Hanging out, practicing, just trying to enjoy the matches, practices, all of that is really important because I know I'm going to miss it for sure.
A lot of people say it goes fast. Aurel, did it go fast? Zach, did it go fast for you? Do you look back on it now and go, boy, that really zoomed by?
It went really fast. Feels like just yesterday I was visiting, staying with Aurel in his apartment on my visit. I don't know where the time went, but...
Okay, so Aurel was your host on your visit.
Yeah, okay. I came here a year before him and I was his host. And it's surreal that 5 years almost already passed. So, yeah.
It does go fast. Mm-hmm. Zach, tell us a little bit about SAC. You meet monthly, discuss a lot of university issues, NCAA issues. There's community service involved. Why? Why did you get involved in that type of an organization?
Well, first when I came here, I found out that Aurel was in SAC. So Aurel has also been a SAC member for 5 years. I really wanted to get involved because in high school we had a similar thing called, I think it was called Bruin Cup. Basically the same kind of idea where it was a bunch of student athletes. They were meeting, hosting events for athletes. There was like an end of the year celebration for the sports, similar to Gold Carpet, like what we have. And I really enjoyed being involved with different events and stuff and being able to benefit my teammates. And with SAC, that's really the big thing is we're working to make the student athlete experience better. And I really enjoy that. I think it's important for sure. Aurel, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, what are you happiest about, or what do you think the best thing you've learned or been a part of as part of SAC?
I think just to give my voice as an international student and help other international students as well, like to feel welcome in Wichita State, that was a big part for me. And like Zach said, same for same for me when I was in middle school and primary school, not very in high school, but I was always wanted to be involved in like the student community. So especially when we're in student athletes, we want to hear, like, we want our voices to be heard. So I think that was the main thing for me, just to help others.
So this has to be a fascinating time to be involved in a group like that. Both of you would have gone through COVID. Both of you would have gone through the real growth in the transfer portal and name, image, and likeness legislation. So give us some perspective. What does this all mean for college athletics? That's probably a big question, but what does this mean for college athletics? Where do you see college athletics going over the next 3 years, 5 years, 10 years?
That's a tough question for sure. I mean, I think it really depends on the sport. Like for basketball or football, for example, it's really going to benefit a big majority of the athletes. A lot of them are, and even baseball, I've heard that a lot of their athletes are able to benefit from this. Like some schools have so much NIL, backing them, I guess, that they can have people as student athletes as walk-ons, yet their NIL deals are making them enough money that they're able to pay for school. So I think that's definitely like a benefit for certain schools, especially schools that don't have the same amount of resources as the bigger schools. For tennis specifically, it's tough because probably only the top 1% are probably going to really be benefiting from this. So it's difficult to see how tennis athletes like us will be able to benefit greatly from it, but I'd like to see where it goes in the future for sure.
Okay. Favorite professional tennis player, Orel? Do you have somebody that you maybe emulate or you particularly enjoy watching?
Unfortunately, he's a former tennis player. Roger Federer was one of my favorites. Current tennis player, it's kind of questionable for a lot of players, but I really like to watch Medvedev and Nick Kyrgios, just the way they express themselves, even though it seems bad on TV. I just feel like that's the way of them dealing with the sport, because tennis is a very mental sport. You have to be really strong mentally, so I feel like they express it in a different way, which is not very likable, but I feel like just that's the way they're showing it, and I still feel like it's important to see that side of it. Like, it's not everything like beautiful and like you can be calm and stuff like that. It's also like very stressful.
Zach, how about you?
My favorite since I've been a kid has always been Rafa Nadal. Just the way his tenacity, the way he approaches every match, every practice, he gives 100%. I think he's just like the ideal person that anyone should try to mimic, whether it's in tennis or in life. He just always gives 100%. He's always a great person, winner, whether he wins or loses. He's always just good about it. I don't know. I just think he's the ideal person to try to be like. So,
Zach, do you have a theory on the scarcity of Americans at the top of the professional tennis ladder?
Well, that's actually starting to change. I think there's probably double digits in the top 50 right now. Men's tennis, American men's tennis is, and women's tennis is definitely on the rise, I think. Especially with former collegiate player Ben Shelton, the way he shot up the rankings. I mean, last year he was playing college tennis and now he's top 50, top 30 almost even. I think it's definitely on the rise, and I think that they're doing a great job supporting college tennis players and those who choose not to play college tennis.
Advice, Orel, if you were to look back, meet an incoming freshman or maybe a high school senior who's starting to think about their college journey, what advice would you give them about academically, athletically, getting started in college?
First will be the time management. You need to realize that it's not going to be easy. You're not going to be a regular student. You're going to be a student athlete. But first and foremost, you're going to be a student. So you have to focus first on studying, because in every professional sport, unfortunately, there can be some injuries, some things can happen, and maybe your career can end. So focus on studying a lot. Know how to time manage that. And in terms of athletic sports or whatever, focus on your body and the stuff outside of just practice. About for me, what's been the most beneficial was to use like the resources that we have here. So I went to a psychologist at the time, was Dr. Bree. So I think the mental aspect is very important to know how to balance your social life, your practices, and school-wise. And also just take care of your body in terms of like conditioning and nutrition and stretches and stuff like that. That's very important.
So how many of those time management skills did you come here with, and how much did you have to learn as you went along here at Wichita State?
So I think, as you said, like I came here older than the other guys. I had to serve 3 years in the military service in Israel. So I came here when I was like 21, 22. So I had that in mind already. Like I had to go to the army, do my couple hours at the job office, then after that practice, and then manage like the stretchers and stuff like that. So I was aware of that. And then coming back to school, I had to add that extra step. So just every semester was different in terms of schedule, but I was just managing it when time went by.
Zach, what's your advice to a youngster thinking about college athletics?
Well, I've got two answers. Like Earl said, the one answer for sports specifically is definitely just to do extra. I know like when I first got here, I felt like with practices and class, like it was all so much, and that comes with that is the time management. But if you can find a way to do extra, I think that's really the key to growing as an athlete. Like when I first got here, I struggled with some injuries for my first year and a half probably. But since then, really found like going, seeing the trainers, doing extra, working out on my own, doing extra like after practice. Stuff like that can really benefit you physically and on the court and or whatever your sport is. So I think that's really important. Once you can figure out that time management, you can start doing more, and that will really be beneficial. The second thing, overall, college and athletics, being a student athlete, I think is just to diversify yourself. Like I came in, when I came here as a freshman, I was really just either going to class or going to practice. But as I spent a year or so, I started to develop more things. Like I got more into SAC. I made some friends outside of tennis and outside of school that really helped me kind of diversify my life, I guess. And it really helped me teach a lot of things, and I feel like it helped me grow a lot. So I think that's super important to, for incoming freshmen to learn.
So you would have had a little bit more of a, or much more of a typical journey than Orel, because you came here right out of high school. What was it like, you know, encountering tougher competition, the injuries you mentioned, the diet? You know, you get a lot of high school students who are, you know, they were the best in their school. And then they come to college, whether it's Wichita State or somewhere else, and things can change. What was that learning process like as far as, you know, these are the things I need to do to improve and the time I need to devote?
Yeah, it was definitely a big shock for me, I guess. Like you said, definitely coming out of high school, we were the best. My high school team was really good, and we won a lot of state championships. And then in junior tennis, obviously, like, we were definitely, I was one of the best in the state, I guess. So I came into college thinking, oh, it's not going to be too difficult. I think I'll definitely be in the lineup. And then getting here, seeing the level of the guys, definitely was a shock at first. And it was definitely difficult for the first year or so trying to get to that level. Yeah, it was a big shock, but like I said, I think just doing the extra work is really what you have to do, what incoming freshmen and underclassmen really have to do if they want to crack the lineup or that sort of thing. That's really important.
And I think if I can add to what Zach said, like that's what makes college tennis kind of easier than professional tennis. Since I play both, that I noticed the difference right away. You can come to college and dream big and work hard and stay disciplined. But if you're going to bring alongside you your teammates, it's going to be much easier because you guys both has the same, like, both the same goals as a team, but also you have individual goals that will make you better, not only for yourself, but also for the team. That way, like Zach said, like, yeah, the level is high sometimes, but if I see a guy like Zach pushing hard, then it makes me want to push hard alongside with him. So that way, like, we can both accomplish our goals.
Yeah, and I'll add to that again. Definitely super helpful. Like, my first year, I definitely struggled with that level, and what really helped me was the team coming around and supporting me along with our coaches too. They really supported me and made me feel welcome even when I was struggling, and I think that was super beneficial for me getting to the level where I feel like I am now, which is a lot better. So yeah, just using your team is, I mean, they support you. You just have to realize it, really.
So tennis would be one of those sports, probably along with golf, track and field, where a lot of people would think of as an individual sport, but you're saying the team aspect is really important. Tell us a little bit about that.
I mean, it's huge. Just like from this year alone, I've realized how important it can be when you're not playing, to like when you're cheering on somebody on the court next to, like, a lot of times I'm on a Rails court. And you can really make a difference when they win a big point and they see you on the side, like, you're into it, and you're like you're into it and watching, and you're like cheering just as hard. Like, you, when you say, like, come on, just as loud as they're saying come on when they're playing, I think it really makes a difference. Shows them how much you care, and it can really make a difference in their match. So yeah, I think it's super important. Do you have anything else to add?
No, I totally agree. I just feel like from the guy that who is on the court, just to get that energy from people outside of the court, just it brings you more energy. And energy, I feel like energy attracts energy. So, like, if you're good and you're positive and stuff like that, and other people are like that as well, then you're going to get that, and you're going to get that motivation to play better, I guess. Because, like, if you're alone on the tour, going abroad to different countries without any coaches and stuff like that, and no one that you're kind of know from back home, then it's really hard to push yourself alone. So that way, like, it's been very helpful.
Burrell, so you, I'm sorry, Zach, did you have?
Yeah, there was one more thing I was going to add, especially with college tennis, how it's kind of different from, say, like, call it like baseball or basketball, where you have that energy from the fans, where there's thousands of fans watching and cheering. With tennis, we have a lot of loyal fans, but it's generally in like the 10 to 20 people range. And then when we're on the road, it's almost nobody, right? So if we didn't have like our teammates cheering on the side, there's like almost no energy supporting the people playing. So I think that's the main reason why it's so important when you're not playing to be supporting your teammates. I think that's why it's so beneficial, because you don't have anybody else.
Yeah, so come watch us on Saturday.
There you go. Shockers versus Creighton on Saturday. Arel, so you came here 2018. You served 3 years in the Israeli military after high school. So you would have experiences, you would have a level of maturity that maybe some of your teammates have not. How do you try to use that to help the younger people, to help the team in general?
That's a good question. I just felt that I can contribute for a lot of players just from my own experience. I felt kind of responsibility that my voice will be heard, because at the end of the day, what I care about is more the goal of the team than my own goal. And like, going back to what we said earlier, I feel like if I'm gonna push hard my teammates and make the goal of the team, then I'm gonna become better. Each player individually will gonna become better. So we mainly focused on over my last 4 or 5 years, like ever since I came here, basically, we focused on building a culture. And I think coming from a small town in Israel with not a lot of financial support, I felt like I've always been like underdog in my life. And that's the way I kind of see Wichita State compared to other schools in our conference. We don't have like a big budget in tennis, or like we don't have like all the resources that we need, for example, like indoor courts and stuff like that. But we're still gonna work hard, push hard, and prove everyone that even though we are underdogs, we are fighting to get what we want.
Zach, your favorite pizza in Wichita, and how does it compare to Shakespeare's in Columbia, which I think, is that the most famous pizza in Columbia, most famous restaurant?
Yeah, it's definitely the most famous.
Harpo's and Shakespeare's, are those the two things everyone has heard about?
I've never had Harpo's, but I know it's popular. Shakespeare's is the most popular for sure. Favorite pizza in Wichita? I mean, Ziggy's comes to mind for sure. We have it at like most of the SAC meetings. So it's pretty good. I don't know, Shakespeare's I would say is a little better. Shakespeare's some people don't like though. It's kind of thin crust, it's got a different flavor. Shakespeare's a little better. My all-time favorite though is Emo's for sure.
Okay.
Emo's is the best.
Now, I know they have that in St. Louis. Do they have that in Columbia too?
Yeah, there's one in Columbia. I think it's from St. Louis, right?
Right. So, yeah. Okay. I've eaten a lot of Emo's over at the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament when I was in St. Louis. All right. Mm-hmm. Ziggy's, very good. Yeah, there were a couple right answers here in Wichita, and Ziggy's would be one of them.
Okay, good.
Arel, what's next for you after Wichita State?
So I'm thinking to go to the coaching side. I have a couple clients back home that I'm coaching, a couple professional kids that I'm working on with. I definitely want to help people, even if they're amateurs or professional, just to fulfill their dreams. Something that I kind of wanted to go more on in my professional career and college career. I was not able to as much as I wanted, but I still think I can help others to fulfill their dreams and like accomplish what they want. So definitely like coaching tennis at the start.
Did you come to Wichita State thinking you were going to get into coaching?
No. So right at the start, I was thinking I'm going to stay in the sports field and I'm going to do something like exercise science. I just fell in love with business and I feel like the management and marketing aspect can really benefit me in coaching tennis. Like the end goal is maybe going to be a director of some club and have my own club. But yeah, just stay in the business aspect, even if it's going to be tennis coaching. Because at the end of the day, I cannot, when I'm going to be 50, it's going to be hard to stay on the court. So it's not going to be easy. So I definitely think about other stuff to stay in the business world, but I still think like I'm gonna coach for a few more years.
Zach, you're working on your master's degree. What are your plans?
So far I'm planning to work with Coke this summer. I have an internship. I'm really excited for that. I ultimately want to do something in data analysis or data analytics, data science, but I'm not exactly sure what exactly I want to do yet. Definitely still open to maybe a PhD in economics. Kind of just feeling it out. Definitely something in the business world. As much as coaching sounds fun like Arel, it's tough. Being on court all day is brutal. So I think the office fits me better.
Your internship with Coke this summer, what will you be doing?
I'll be doing some analytics for the case agriculture.
Okay. Arel, you talked about being on the court at 50, so that leads me into asking about pickleball, which I guess is the question you have to ask every tennis player now. Arel, pickleball, interested, not interested? What are your thoughts on that sport?
I really like pickleball. I don't see myself professional in it. It's something I never considered until we talked about it just now, but I feel like pickleball is growing worldwide. I know in Israel they started to build some pickleball courts. I think in Europe and in Israel as well, it's more like paddle tennis, but pickleball is growing up as well. I was thinking more like maybe trying to coach pickleball, like just to study the pickleball aspect, because it's very similar to tennis. Some rules are different, but like a lot of motions are the same. But maybe if I'm coaching tennis, I can also like help coach pickleball if I study more about that. So who knows?
I know there's something about a kitchen. You've got to be careful about being in the kitchen with pickleball.
Don't go inside the kitchen,
right, right. We know that. Zach, how about you? What's your interest level in pickleball?
I mean, in past summers, I've taught tennis at country clubs, and I've also taught pickleball. So it's fun. I enjoy it. Obviously, I have to shout out former Shocker tennis player Jocelyn.
Right. And Lucy Kovalova.
Yeah,
so there's two. There's at least two former Shockers who are pretty prominent on the professional pickleball tour.
There's another Israeli guy that plays Dekelbar. He's very good. He's like top three.
Yeah. Okay. All of them are like top five, all former tennis players. So, yeah, there's way more even that we can talk about that play tennis and then are going into the professional pickleball. I don't know. It's fun, but I don't know if I would ever consider a career in it. It seems pretty competitive.
Zach is pretty good at it, too.
Aurelis as well.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right, let's wrap up. Book recommendation, show that you're watching on Netflix. How are you passing time on long road trips? Zach, give the people something to get hooked on.
Okay. Book recommendations. Okay, I've got three. So, first one. That was a person.
Let me just stop and say how pleased I am that you have three books, because often I ask people and they will not have any books or they struggle to get a book. So the fact that you have three books to recommend, I'm thrilled.
I love to read, so I read a lot. First one is Seven Habits. It's got a longer title, but Seven Habits.
You took one of mine.
It's a really good book, just about hard work and that sort of thing, like. It's like just all encompassing about life. Really love that book. Second one is, oh man, what's the title? It's a book by David Goggins. What's the title?
Keep talking and I can look. I can help you maybe by looking it up.
Yeah,
What's the book about?
So I mean, David Goggins. I don't know if you know him or not, but he's just. Guy, really, he's a motivational speaker, I guess, now, who has been through a lot. He basically talks about his journey in, was it the Marines?
Navy SEAL,
He was a Navy SEAL. It took him, like, three attempts to pass the SEAL training. He does, like, ultra marathons now, like, 100-mile races. And it's just, like, a really interesting book about hard work, staying motivated, staying persistent, that sort of thing. So I think it's a really interesting book, hearing about his life too. And then third book is Jordan B. Peterson, the 12 Rules of Life. And then he also has a second one who's like 12 More Rules of Life, I think. So another book about life, just interesting, like philosophical questions, how to attack different things. So yeah, I'm really into the self-improvement books, so anything in that genre.
I found a David Goggins book, Never Finished, Unshackle Your Mind, and then there's
one more.
Built, Not Born.
Got it on my phone. I'm going to look it up.
Can't Hurt Me, Master Your Mind, and Defy the Odds.
Can't Hurt Me.
Okay, David Goggins, Can't Hurt Me, Master Your Mind, and Defy the Odds. All right, so now you put the pressure on Aurel. He's looking through his phone to try to find his favorite books.
You need to say four now.
No, four? You took me one. I was about to say Seven Habits.
And which is the one, Seven Habits, you also enjoy that one? Okay.
Yeah, I read that. Okay. Another book that we read as a team and I really enjoyed was Legacy, about the All Blacks. It's like New Zealand, the
rugby
team, yeah, how to build a culture in a team and stuff like that. A book that is some sort of my mantra in life. Unfortunately, my girlfriend wanted to read that. I don't know if she read that yet, but hopefully she did. So I left it back home. It's called The Secret. I don't know who wrote that. I can look it up. But just basically talking about, like we said, like how energy attracts energy, all about the way you think just will be fulfilled and stuff like that. I know Conor McGregor read it, former MMA fighter. He read it, and just, I know Djokovic, I think, read it as well. And another book that I really enjoyed reading was from Charles Koch, was the Believe in People. That was a really good management book. So that's pretty much it.
Okay, I've got The Secret by Rhonda Byrne.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. All right, what a great way to wrap it up. Several book recommendations. One from Wichita, Charles Koch. All right, Zach, Orel, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Rick Neuma, president of Wichita State University. Check out the latest episode of the Forward Together podcast. Each episode, I sit down with different guests from Shocker Nation to celebrate the vision and mission of Wichita State University. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We encourage you to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com.
Bradshaw into Wingate. Wingate's going to dribble it a couple of times and throws it in the hands of Cousinard. Threw it away. Cousinard to Ryan Martin for the dunk! The Shockers are going to the Sweet 16! It's all over. The Shockers up 7. 3 seconds. 2. Jumper by Smith is no good. Wichita State to the Sweet 16.